Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
The NBA is back. How are you feeling about it? Gosh, even as we ask you about upsets that you never saw coming, there have been a couple recent ones in the NBA postseason. Or anyone going to throw the Stanley Cup playoffs at me? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we've got plenty of good stuff that you can be amused by. Plenty of ways that you can amuse yourselves on both our Twitter and Facebook pages. We've got a couple of polls still ongoing. We're going to reveal your choice for TD of the week. It's a healthy balloting right now. We've also got a space where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That comes up next hour here on The Hump Show, middle show of the work week. And now we're asking you, in light of Diamondbacks rallying past the Phillies to make just the second World Series in their franchise history, first in 22 years, what is another stunning upset in sports that you never saw coming? In fact, you still can't believe it happened. You never saw it, even though you are the best of prognosticators, and even though you could guarantee a lock here or there or everywhere. I do love it when people guarantee something that they can't control. Nah, you're just guessing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It, as I say, start of the NBA season tonight, and in Denver, as was the right in the Mile High City, as the NBA champions, they had a special ring ceremony and a banner raising, and it was kind of cool to see them flash all their bling and then have to turn around and play a game. I always enjoy that emotional dynamic. Producer Jay grabs some of the cool moments from the ceremony.
Nuggets Nation. I can't hear you. You guys have been the best fans in the NBA for 8 years. We appreciate that. Last year was amazing. We got one ring. Who wants another?
Has it at the midcourt circle, guarded by Taurean Prince. They're going to go to Jokic in the high post again. This time a pick by Joker. Joker, kick out three-pointer. Got it! There's a triple-double, Nikola Jokic. Game number one, 27-13-11.
Some things never change. From a ring ceremony and a banner raising and a salty Mike Malone, although I think he's pretty mild on opening night, too.
We're some greedy bastards, baby. We're some greedy bastards.
A triple-double for Nikola Jokic, the two-time MVP. They shot 53% tonight against the Lakers, and it was kind of fun to see basketball start in Denver. Maybe that's a storyline that you never saw coming, or an upset, a winner that you never saw coming. We are pleased to welcome Matt Moore from Denver. He's got the Locked On Nuggets podcast, also Locked On NBA, longtime insider and writer for the Action Network. And at that ring ceremony with the banner going up into the rafters, what was it like there for the Nuggets and their fans, Matt?
It was emotional. You know, the Nuggets kind of talked all week about how they wanted to, you know, get past it and get back to work and, you know, turn the page. But it was emotional. It was emotional for Michael Malone, who lost his father 2 weeks ago. He said that, you know, when he received the ring, that he thought of his dad, and as the banner was raised there in the arena. Nikola Jokic, there was a video package that kind of showed all the fan reactions to their winning the title. And Jokic talked a lot about how much that meant to him. I spoke with Michael Porter Jr. after the game, and he said that he wasn't aware that everyone with the organization gets a ring. And so he's talking about the training staff and the equipment managers and all the people that go into the giant organization of an NBA team, and how it was great to see them get recognized for their contribution. So overall, it was a really emotional and really just a real night of celebration for the Nuggets and their fans, and that continued through the end of the game.
How much has changed for those Nuggets in the last 4 months?
Not much. You know, honestly, I asked Aaron Gordon. I was like, you know, you guys seemed really sharp given that it was a night one. He was like, honestly, it felt like we stopped playing yesterday. We just picked it right back up.
Oh, my gosh. But that's,
you know, the continuity of that team, I think, helps a lot, where Jokic and Murray and Gordon have been playing together, especially Gordon and Jokic have been playing together for several years. And so they all know how to play together. You know, obviously there's been some changes. Bruce Brown's gone. Jeff Green's gone. They're playing younger guys like Peyton Watson. They need a big step up from Christian Brown. Reggie Jackson's now the backup point guard. But those are all pieces that kind of fit into limited roles who are asked to do limited things. The key components are still that starting five, and that's the best starting five in basketball with the best player in basketball, and that's going to make them tough to beat throughout this season and into the postseason.
LeBron has been through several of those, emotional too, multiple places, and here he is starting his 21st season. So, Matt, how much of the conversation around LeBron is how much longer he plays in the NBA?
Yeah, you know, he had that conversation about possibly retiring, which I think that was just a moment for him, a tough moment after a disappointing exit last postseason. But, look, I think he's seen his own basketball mortality, right? He knows that's getting harder. He's not able to do the things that he used to. And usually when players reach that point or they can see the end, that starts kind of the clock for them to eventually not come back. And I think that LeBron's kind of in that zone. And I think it's one of the reasons why there's so much optimism and focus with this team in preseason about making one more run, is how important it is and what the clock looks like with LeBron. And so, you know, part of that equation is LeBron's kind of asked for Anthony Davis to step up and be the best player on the team the last couple of years. He keeps saying, if we're going to win the championship, LeBron's got to be, or AD's got to be our best player. He said that every year. And it kind of was there in a big way this postseason or this preseason as well. So that's going to continue to be a storyline. It's not just how much does LeBron have left, but is Anthony Davis ready to be the one that carries LeBron to the title? Because he needs that from Davis if they're going to compete for a championship.
The Lakers have employed load management for their two stars in the past. A significant rule change this year. How do you think teams will navigate these new rules that are instituted by the league to prevent stars from taking as many nights off, or to prevent stars from sitting out all at the same time?
I mean, it wasn't a great start when Bradley Beal, who, you know, did tweak his back and has an injury, but they said that he's out basically out of trying to be cautious in the first game of the season. Not a great start there, but that said, I'm still pretty optimistic that I think we're going to see a higher level of effort and focus from teams and players on the regular season this year. It's been a big talking point. Most notably, if you ask conversations around the league, you kind of get a sense that a lot of this is coming from the players themselves, that in coordination with the NBA, who knows that a new media deal is being negotiated and they need to put their best foot forward for the good of everyone financially. I think we're meeting this summer with the NBPA where there is a little bit of dissent within the ranks of trying to get everybody back on track of, hey, we got to play. Like, we got to be out there. I know that the training staffs are telling us that we need to rest, that it's dangerous, that I'm going to get injured, but we've got to push through a little bit. We have to kind of change the narrative. I think the players are really tired of being accused of not wanting to play when so often it's the teams that are asking them and telling them, hey, you're at risk of injury. We think it's safer if you don't play tonight. I think the players are kind of taking this stuff into their own hands and saying, no, we're going to compete this season. Now, we'll see if they carry through with it, if they can still do it in January. But I do think we're going to see a lot less load management, a lot less rest nights. I think a lot more play on back-to-backs. I think we'll see a better product from the NBA this season.
We're always excited to welcome Matt Moore back to the show. Former colleague of ours here, but now with the Action Network, has been covering the NBA for a long time, has the Locked On Nuggets podcast as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about wrinkles in time for the NBA, how do you like this new in-season tournament?
I'm excited for it. You know, I think the players don't really know what to make of it. I think there's a lot of skepticism about what it means and how much to try and all those types of things. But talking to some coaches around the league and asking them about that question, they all said the same thing, which is we have guys going at it in practice. We have guys that get into fights with teammates on a Tuesday over a play in a scrimmage. And you're telling me that the most competitive players in the world aren't going to care when there's something. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, these guys go round for round in shooting competitions. These are the most competitive athletes on the planet. And that if you get them in that environment in a one-off, you win or you go home, I think that there is going to be a little bit of, not a lot, but a good amount of effort to make these games compelling. I think the stakes in the NBA are an important thing that's been missing, and this provides an opportunity for that. I think Vegas is a great place to host for these events for a number of reasons. It'll be cool inside the Sphere. All these things are really great. I think you'll see like a really good moment and kind of new thing happening with the league when it comes to the in-season tournament.
It almost feels confusing to me, and I'm trying to actually figure it out.
The simple thing is November, Tuesdays, and Fridays. That's one of the, I think, the smartest things the league has done, which is just like, hey, here's two nights. These are the games. That's when you get to watch. And if you're able to take out all the guesswork, now following the standings and all that, that's going to be more complicated. Understanding who's getting the wild card in these situations, yeah, like that stuff's going to be tough. But I do think that having certain nights where you can say, if you turn on an NBA game in November on Tuesday or Friday, there's something on the line. Like there are, like it matters what happens in a very short-term manner. I think that helps a lot with fighting off some of the problems that are inherent with the 82-game season where no game is really different from any other and the players talk about that openly.
Right.
This changes that, and if they embrace it, the league will have something good. And if not, it'll be gone in a couple of years.
Similar to a model that we see with European soccer, so we'll see how it is implemented Tuesdays and Fridays in November. Okay, Matt, let's talk about some of the new duos and tandems that we have in the NBA. I actually was listening to Warriors basketball on my drive into work, and Tim Roy utters these words, Chris Paul may be the best Warrior on the court tonight. And then after a pause, he follows it up with a phrase I thought I'd never say. So there you've got Chris Paul joining the Warriors, but that's just one of the moves. With Dame going to Milwaukee, the changes for the Celtics, Wemby in San Antonio, Antonio, who are a few of the new combos that you are psyched to see?
I mean, I think it starts with Milwaukee. Just seeing Damian Lillard for years has been one of the best offensive players in the league, and he's carried these teams with rosters that were fine. They weren't terrible. Like, these teams were not filled with, you know, non-NBA players, but he's never had a real star beside him, a real superstar. And now he's got arguably the second best or best player over the last 5 years in basketball in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And having Giannis as a player he can play off of is going to elevate his game to an even higher level. Having Dame to space the floor and make sure teams can't send droves of defenders at him is going to make Giannis better. This is the best defense that Dame's ever played with. And I was thinking about this too. You know, where does Chris Middleton fit in with the number of guys that Dame has played with? It's probably in Portland, LaMarcus Aldridge, and then I think Chris Middleton's probably better than C.J. McCollum. So, like, Chris Middleton, the now third or fourth best player on the team, is still probably, like, on the list of third best players that Dame's ever played with. And that I think, is really exciting. The Celtics, I'm more excited on kind of a how-they-all-go-together formula, because you have so much defense in the backcourt with Derek White and Drew Holiday. That's just a fantastic defensive combo. That's going to give point guards nightmares game after game after game. But in preseason, you kind of saw this. Kristaps Porzingis was phenomenal last year. I've never been really high on Porzingis, and he was amazing last season because he was finally healthy.
Yes.
If he stays healthy, he provides a weapon that means that the Celtics won't have those stretches where their offense completely melts into pieces. And that's really exciting, and that can open up even more for Jason Tatum. So all of these things, I think that they're super exciting. The Warriors I'm a little bit more skeptical about with Chris Paul and the age and the injuries and all of that. And the Suns, I've talked to players who have kind of said, like, yeah, we don't know. I don't know if Phoenix is going to be dominant enough because of their defense. And that, I think, is an interesting question. And I think everybody in the league, I will say this, I don't know. I've never seen a rookie come in that so many players are like, I got to make sure I watch that, as I've heard talk about Victor Wembanyama.
What do you expect with him?
I had kind of lowered the bar on my expectations and been like, well, you know, look, he doesn't have the muscle mass and he's going to get pushed around and guys are going to attack his dribble. And then I saw him in preseason and was like, man, maybe not. Maybe he's just going to block four shots a game and hit threes and dunk from the free throw line. Like, there's a part of this where these guys that are so physically exceptional, I'll never forget, there was a scene early in Giannis's first MVP season where they were playing the Nuggets and Paul Millsap like was trying to stop Giannis in transition. And it was obviously impossible because of Giannis's athleticism and wingspan. And Paul Millsap looked at the bench like, what is it you want me to do here? And that's how every player looks with Victor Wembanyama. What is it I'm supposed to do here? And that, I think, is going to be really amazing in that, look, it's not going to be perfect every night, and there will be nights he struggles like any rookie. But the things that he does are things we've never seen before. And that's going to be exciting and something to watch for every single night.
Matt Moore is with us from Denver here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What happens with James Harden?
Whew. You know, I think he ends up a Clipper. I think eventually that deal gets one side or the other budges and they get it done. I think there's a sense of resignation on the Sixers side with a lot of things going on. And I think on the Clipper side, there's a confidence that they can get him. Now, look, my understanding is that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have both expressed that they want that deal to get done. So that's something that they think the team needs to do. Typically, those guys get what they want with the Clippers. And so, you know, I think it's very likely that he winds up there. Harden's away from the team right now there's a personal family illness. And it is, like, for all of the jokes and all of the comments, and I understand why Harden has put himself in a position for those jokes to be made. But, like, my understanding is that the situation is serious. And so I'm trying to have, like, empathy and care and not, you know, get involved in the kind of cynicism that Harden has honestly generated for himself, and understand that he does have you know, a family and personal life, and he's got some stuff going on. But long-term, I think he probably goes to the Clippers. The bigger question in NBA circles I've talked to is very little about Harden, because he's not considered to be that much of a impactful, influential player anymore, quite honestly. The question is, what happens with Joel Embiid then? And there are a lot of teams that are keeping their cap sheets and offers ready in the event that Joel Embiid decides, you know what, this is you didn't get a star back in return, I don't want to waste the season, this has gone sideways, I'm out. And if that happens, we're just going to go from the Dame situation and the Harden situation right into the Embiid saga, and it will just keep on running because there's not a lot of confidence that things will calm down with the Sixers unless Daryl Morey and the Sixers front office find a miracle trade for a true star running mate next to Embiid.
It's going to be crazy to see. The Miami Heat actually represented the East in the NBA Finals last year. What a story they were. Have they gotten better or worse in the offseason, Matt, considering they didn't get Damian Lillard?
You know, there's a lot of confidence from their side about the developmental program of Nikola Jovic, not Jokic, Jovic, of rookie Jaime Jaquez, of Cole Swider, another young player that they're developing. They feel confident in their ability to find all these guys to replace what they lost when Gabe Vincent and Max Strus left in free agency, because quite honestly, the Heat were making room for Damian Lillard. I'm still pretty skeptical. You got Jimmy Butler in his mid-30s after a lot of years under Tom Thibodeau. He's got a lot of miles on him. The rookies will probably be good. Eric Spoelstra is an amazing coach, but rookies aren't consistent, and consistency wins in the NBA, and there will always be now the question of, like, oh, well, sure, they'll struggle in the regular season, but they'll just do what they did last year. And I have to kind of just, like, really stress, they were down with 3 minutes to go in the second play-in tournament game.
Right.
Like, it was 3 minutes from not even making the postseason. I think the margin for error for Miami is very thin, that the growing pains will be difficult. That said, if they can get things to break right, I think that there's a chance that they'll be in the mix once again through sheer force of will. If they can figure out a way just to get through 6 months of basketball and land in the playoffs, that combination of what Jimmy Butler is in the postseason and Eric Spoelstra is enough to give them a chance, as we saw last year.
Matt, before I let you go, what are your emotions as you cover another NBA season, another start to an NBA season?
I'm really refreshed, to be honest with you. I'm kind of having a renaissance and falling back in love with the game. There's so much nonsense and there's so much stuff that goes on behind the scenes in the NBA with regards to the business side of it, and so much is driven by money. But seeing the kind of joy that happened in Denver with that franchise winning its first title, and then seeing all the great basketball, there's such talent in the league right now. There's talk of expansion because there's so much talent to support that kind of expansion. It's going to be an amazing season. There's going to be great storylines. I think we're going to see better effort, as I talked about earlier. I think we're in for an all-timer when it comes to what this NBA season looks like.
The enthusiasm to share from Matt Moore, longtime NBA writer and insider, now with the Action Network. You can find him on Twitter at HP Basketball. He's very active, especially late at night, working at the same time that we are. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, and happy basketball season.
Thanks for having me, Amy. Anytime.
Well, that should whet your appetite on the upcoming season. I love that Wemby fever is not only being felt in San Antonio, but around the league with actual players and guys who will have a chance to face him and then watch him as well. What can't he do? That will become the question. Can he stay healthy? That's always a challenge when international players get into the NBA because the rigors of an 82-game season. I like the rules that limit load management simply for the sake of rest and load management. I don't know about this in-season tournament. Interested to see some of the new combos and how quickly they settle in. We did see the Denver Nuggets defend their title in game number one. But if you thought the Golden State Warriors might have gotten better or might be able to start out hot because of either the addition of Chris Paul or just in general, the way that they lost in the second round of the playoffs last year. Well, think again. It may be a bumpy re-entry, but you know that they're always a lot of fun. By the way, I surprised Mom with the same piece of audio that I used to surprise you on our last show. And if you missed it, We'll bring it back. We'll probably bring it back every single night of the NBA season. But yeah, I have to tell you how I surprised Mom with it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We've got polls. We've got a show question tonight. A lot of you weighing in on the upset you never saw coming. And then also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which comes up about an hour and 15 minutes from now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports.
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Feathers helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Minnesota Vikings.
Cousins on 3rd and 6. Big blitz like Pete said. So Cousins fires over the middle and it is... No! Darius Ward, and it's a 60-yard touchdown, and the Vikings strike in the shadow of halftime, and they lead 16-7.
the New England Patriots.
Gesicki into the huddle. Douglas departs for New England. Mike Wallace, a line to the right, inside of Devontae Parker. And meanwhile, Henry, Bourne, and Stevenson flex left before Jones summons Stevenson to the quarterback's right hip. A second and goal to go from the left hash one. Andrews over the football to snap it back. Jones has it. Looks to his right. Throws it to the right. Got it! Touchdown!
He's got it!
Patriots!
There he is, Mike Gesicki off the side of a milk carton, catching the game winner.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers in a tie game. Line up with everything in tight. Pickett communicating the play. The lone setback is Najee Harris. Pickett steps in, hands it off. Najee into the end zone. Pittsburgh Steelers go-ahead touchdown.
The Iron Horse, Najee, goes into the end zone.
The Cleveland Browns.
Here we go.
Hudson and Harris, Browns from the one. This is the game. Out of the eye, they need the touchdown. Hunt and Harris, Walker. Gives to Kareem Hunt, pushing, touchdown! Kareem Hunt got it across the goal line! Kareem Hunt, are the cardiac kids back? Kareem Hunt getting it over the goal line. The huge touchdown on fourth down. You knew you could run it at that point. It didn't matter, that was the last play.
Those are four worthy candidates for TD of the week, and the polling is going on for another hour, so you can check that out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's pinned to the top of that Twitter, or you can find it on my feed. I just did retweet it for you, A-Law Radio. Pretty healthy competition among three of the candidates. I'm actually kind of surprised with how it's shaking out right now, but an hour left to vote. So either place, either social media, you can decide the After Hours TDO the week. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So we were talking about the start of the NBA season. The Warriors were hosting the Suns in the second game for a couple of reasons. Number one, Kevin Durant, still with Phoenix, used to play with Golden State, obviously won a couple of NBA Finals MVPs. But also Chris Paul facing one of his former teams. So facing the Suns in the season opener, and we can get to the game itself coming up, but it was kind of funny. As I mentioned to Matt Moore, I heard Tim Roy say on the broadcast, Chris Paul has been the best Warrior on the court tonight. Then there's this big pause and he utters, I never thought I'd say that phrase, or a phrase I never thought I'd say, something along those lines. So yeah, it's early. There are a lot of new duos and combos in the NBA, but one thing that does not change is the Splash Brothers at Golden State. And we've been big fans. I know you guys are big fans too. I mean, Steph Curry has changed the NBA. He's increased its global presence. He is an international superstar. He transcends the game. And then Klay Thompson, who's overcome so much adversity. The two of them are arguably the best shooting backcourt in the history of the league. And so when we got the email from Warriors PR on Monday, with an audio clip, we were stunned, speaking of stunned, to hear this.
This is Klay Thompson, four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
So my mom had her birthday on Tuesday, and she is a huge Warriors fan because of the Splash Brothers. She loves Steph. She loves Klay. Anyway, I sent the email to my mom's husband, and I said to him when we were on the phone, I was on the phone with my mom for her birthday, and Mike was in the house, and I said, don't read the email to mom. Just open up the email and play the audio. So I'm on speakerphone. They're on speakerphone. I hear in the background, this is Klay Thompson.
This is Klay Thompson.
And my mom listens to the whole thing. We listen to the whole thing together, especially the part about the one of the best sports shows in America.
You're listening to one of the best shows in America.
And there's silence on the other end of the phone. And I said, Mom, did you hear that? She was like, yes. Well, why aren't you reacting? Well, why is Klay Thompson talking about your show? It's like, Okay, of all the things to ask, why is Clay talking about your show? How does he know? What? How did he do that? So I guess she was a little surprised. So I explained to her that we got this email from Warriors PR and Mike read it to her. She still didn't understand that someone had put a script in front of Clay Thompson and said to him, hey, can you read this for us? And that happens. If you listen to any broadcast, gosh, if you watch NBA and TV, you'll see various athletes who are reading, you know, what we call IDs or opens or rejoins, anything like that. They're reading these clips to kind of reintroduce a show or to give it a legal ID at the top of the hour, which is required by the FCC. So my mom had no idea why Clay would be talking about after hours. And I said, still, though, how cool is that?
Stop trying to figure out how the sausage is made. Happy birthday and listen.
Since she loves the Splash Brothers, it was probably just as cool a moment for her as it was for me. So it was really neat to be able to share that with her on her birthday. So Warriors, thank you. Thank you so much for that cool moment for Mom, who has been a fan since the Splash Brothers arrived on the scene. I dare say there are millions of Americans who would say the same thing.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm not sure what's cooler. Well, that's cool. But do you remember, Marco, Jay wasn't with us then, going back to say year number two maybe, and our former bosses, Mark and Eric, they were part of the Final Four kind of press junket, and it would be, so it was Jim Nantz, Bill Rafferty, and then, you know, some other people that were working for CBS. And I don't know, Jay, if you can find them in...
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
But
there
was also one from Bill, which was really cool. And I remember hearing those and was completely blown away by the fact that Jim Nantz uttered the name of the show. Yeah, just awesome.
And hi, this is Vern Lundquist.
You're
listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Forgot about Vern. That was another incredible moment. So between Clay Thompson, Jim Nantz, Vern Lundquist, and then Kurt Warner telling me that I stole his gig with Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds and that he was going to try to steal it back. Those are kind of my, brush with greatness moments.
Not bad.
Which one would you say is the coolest? I mean, Clay Thompson did call it one of the best sports shows in America.
I do like that.
There's always a chance that he said that all by himself, off the cuff.
I'm going to go with off the cuff. I'm going to go with the Kurt Warner.
Yeah, the Kurt Warner.
Think. I like that.
It's Amy Lawrence of CBS Radio took your job.
Well, Amy's great.
She is. The phone rings and she said, will you come on and visit my show? I said, yeah. And I said, what's the deal about taking money out of my guy's pocket there for the pork rinds?
Yeah, she's better at that than I am. So.
I hate to admit it, but she is.
Now, see, that was pretty freaking amazing. And that was on Westwood One.
Right. That's off the cuff. I like that. Off the cuff,
it.
I like.
We took it from Westwood One. So, yeah, that was pretty awesome. And then Kurt came on the show and admitted the fact that that he was going to try to steal it back. So, yeah, every now and then we've got some brush with greatness here on After Hours, our little middling show. We call it the little engine that could.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep chugging through the overnights. Marco left us and then he came back because he couldn't stay away.
I left?
You did. You left.
I don't remember it being like
yes,
that, but all right.
Come on. You left us.
Well, I don't think it was like that, but okay. Right,
how was it like?
Well, I don't see how I left. Where did I go? I didn't leave.
Okay.
You changed time slots. That's not time slots,
but I changed days of the week.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't at the time.
I suppose that would be considered us leaving you then.
Right.
Right.
I was going to say, you left me, and then after you left me, then they moved me. Where I was kind of off the network for a while, and then I came back.
And now we're reunited.
And there you go.
I was thinking about this earlier, and I know we're running a little late, but I was thinking about this earlier, about the original voices left on the network. So we're now wrapping up year number 11 here on CBS Sports Radio. With D.A. departed, and I do miss him. It's not the same without him and Sean Morash in the morning, though Pete is still here working the new morning show that's Maggie and Perloff. Maggie started on the network, but then she left. She was gone for 5-6 years. So she started doing a Saturday morning show and didn't come back until, what, a year ago? Year and a half ago? So she was gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Jody Mack still works weekends, right?
Right.
So he was also gone for a while.
I don't know if Jody ever actually left, but I hear, I think he was always on the Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. All right. So I thought he was gone. He'd missed a couple years doing some other stuff.
I could be wrong, but I feel like Jody doesn't ever miss anything. Jody's working 24 hours a day. I don't think he ever turned down anything.
I have not run into Jody in years.
I haven't seen him in
we
years
We just
either.
Do not cross paths. Yeah. Well, and then the pandemic kept people at home for so long.
Right.
But otherwise, you started with the network at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So you've... But I don't know. Did you work all the way through or
yes.
did you... Okay, so you did continue to do shifts on CBS Sports Radio even when you were also doing other things.
Right. The only thing that I was... I just wasn't always full-time. That's only been the last couple of years.
Right. So me, you, let's include Jody.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie's back. But who else is there that's been here since the beginning on air?
Andrew Bogish.
Okay, Bogish as an anchor has been on air
yes.
the beginning. And he's also done some hosting.
Right. Jim Rome.
Well, of course. And then Ack? Mm.
Rich Ackerman,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so a few anchors.
And Peter Schwartz.
Okay, so they're... Well, he was gone for a while too, but he did come back, or he was not.
He left.
Yeah, well, he was not used for quite a while. Remember, because he was on this show, and they
right.
let him go.
Right.
So he was.
Yeah,
he's clawed his way back in. But yeah, no, they let him go, so he mm-hmm, was full time, mm-hmm. and then it wasn't anything to do with him. It was
right,
just
right.
they were changing, they were letting people go. So all right, so it's a few anchors,
mm-hmm.
four anchors that have been here since the beginning. And then me and Jim.
I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah. I mean, full time, definitely,
mm-hmm.
definitely. Part time, I don't know if there's been any other than Jody. I don't know if there was a host that's been here from the start.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's some that, like you said, that were here and left and came back or moved on or
do
whatever,
different shifts
or started like a year later.
Mm-hmm.
No, not off the top of my head. I could be missing somebody.
Wow.
And I apologize if I am, but...
An 11-year odyssey. That's pretty incredible.
It's been that long?
It's pretty incredible. Yeah, we're wrapping up year number 11. The network launched on January 1st, 2013.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't get over it. I feel very old. But that's all right.
I think about the... I don't know. I don't think you were here for that when we had to do the dry runs. Those were the fun ones in December.
No, because I was in Connecticut working for my previous network. So I still had a job there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those were fun. Where we talk to
runs.
Ourselves.
I did come in for an audition. Do you know who my audition was with? Tiki and Tierney and Chris Moore.
Okay. Yeah.
So there was the four of us, crazy enough.
Yeah. There was a lot of different combinations for a long time. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That they were trying to figure out. I just, again, the dry run is just funny because it's almost like an inside joke, but it was the idea that there were so many of us here and we were running it basically 24 hours a day. So we were doing shows.
Mm-hmm.
And people would do 2 hours worth of a show and then they would just replay it for 2 hours and they bring in another host and we were talking to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I had to do six straight hours of updates and I was like, what are we doing?
We're practicing.
We got to the point where we look at each other and we're like, all right, we figured out the clock after an hour. Like, how many more times do we have to do
this? I'm so sorry I missed that. Oh my goodness. That sounds like fun. So Marco actually predates 2013. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we've gone through many iterations. It's
and
pretty
through the
incredible.
Holidays. Don't forget, this was December 23rd and 27th.
Yep.
We're like,
we got
to come in for this?
New Year's Day, 2013. Jay, you missed out on so much.
Oh, yeah.
It was
real
different around here. Okay, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, After Hours CBS, which did not exist when we started. And then on our Facebook page, too. Thanks for the kind words from Mom.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Booker gets open again, doesn't shoot it. Scoops the ball to Okogie, left block, gets it back. Booker, another open three on the way. That one's good. Devin Booker, over 30 for the second time in a season opening game. He joins Charles Barkley as the only Suns to do that more than once in their career. 100-96, Suns up 4, 40 feet away. Around a screen from Nurkic on the right wing, back in between the circles. He gives it right side Gordon for three. He got it! Eric Gordon from way downtown, and the Suns are back up 5, 106-101, 43 seconds to go. Gets to the top of the arc, gives to the cutting Nurkic. He scoops it up and in off the window. What a feed from Book, and Nurk finishes at the rim to put the Suns up 4 with 10.3 seconds left. Timeout, Warriors.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This This was a weird game. It really did epitomize the opener of the NBA season, and that teams, other than Denver maybe, have got some settling in that they need to get to. Listen to this. Okay, the first quarter between, and I did watch some of this and then listened to Tim Roy on my way in, who's the voice of the Warriors. That's the Suns radio network. Al McCoy is now retired. Phoenix and Golden State played to a draw. In the first quarter, it was 28-28. Quarter number two, the Suns outscored the Warriors 33-18. Quarter number three, a 40-19 edge in favor of Golden State. Final quarter, 28-18. So the Warriors go from scoring 28 in the first quarter, 18 in the second, 40 in the third, 18 in the fourth. All right. The team definitely started slowly. We'll get some reaction to Chris Paul being integrated as a starter into that Warriors lineup. But how about Kevin Durant playing in front of the fans in the Bay Area for the first time in 5 years?
It's always good to be recognized for, you know, the work you put in. So it was exciting to see people that I haven't seen in a while, some familiar faces. And I feel like the fan base here got nothing but love and respect for me as an individual player and as a person. And, you know, that's all I can ask for.
Kevin Durant now with the Suns, which I still have to pinch myself and remember. We didn't see a whole lot of it last year. It was still a work in progress. And that's the same thing with Kyrie Irving. You want to talk about stunners? I'm pretty surprised that he ended up in Dallas, and except for when I consider that there really wasn't any other place for him. If you missed the conversation with Matt Moore at the top of the hour, I did ask him about James Harden, and he believes that ultimately, it may take a while, but ultimately, James Harden will get traded to the Clippers because Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are on board. Forget anybody who runs the team. As long as the stars are on board, well, okay, James Harden, let's head to your fourth team in, 5 years? It's the NBA, where everyone plays with his BFF. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.